Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Amazing. Let's give a hand to Renee. Oh my goodness. That was absolutely breathtaking. I am just blown away. Literally this morning when we were practicing the song, I was supposed to come up during the run-through, and I just stood at my chair like staring, and I didn't make my cue quite in time. But that was absolutely fantastic. If you haven't seen Frozen 2, make sure you put it on your list of things to do in the near future, because it is absolutely a fantastic film. But before we get to that, I just want to send my personal welcome to you all here this morning as well. My name is John, and it's a privilege to be speaking here today. I'm one of the staff here at The Rocks. And Happy New Year. You are spending the beginning of 2020 on the right foot. I'm so excited that you are all here today at church on the very first Sunday of 2020. I truly believe that it's going to be a powerful time together. And we're going to start the year off with a bang. We're going to start the year off on the right foot. And it's going to be so powerful this morning. And I truly believe that God's going to speak to you exactly where you're at. But hey, if you haven't seen Frozen 2, let me just give it a quick plug, because I absolutely love this movie. And I saw it a couple weeks ago when I was in Thailand. And it's like emotional, and it's like the music is great, and the storyline is amazing, and like the animations are really good, and like there's like nice plot twists in there. It's good for the whole family, for kids, for adults. It doesn't matter at all. It's an absolutely fantastic movie. That's nothing to do with my message, but just so you know, you should go and see Frozen 2 when you have a chance. But I know at the beginning of New Year's, the beginning of a new season starting this week, and I know for a lot of us, that can actually be a little bit overwhelming, and that can actually be a little bit stressful, and it can be like a little bit agonizing, because, you know, actually you're in a place now here in 2020 where maybe you thought, oh, I thought I'd be a little bit somewhere a little bit different now. You know, I thought in this decade, when I saw myself 10 years ago, I thought I'd be a little bit further, maybe in my relationships, or I'd be a little bit in a different place in my career, or, you know, I thought I'd have my group of friends would still be the same that it used to, and I'm feeling a little bit stressed and overwhelmed because it seems like it's all beginning afresh, new again. And seasons of transition can be quite hard, actually. And maybe you're here in the beginning of 2020 and you actually don't have much of a clue of what this year is going to look like, and you're not really too sure, and it's a little bit foggy, and it's a little bit cloudy, and a little bit of the unknown, actually. And you realize that you're entering into a new year of 2020, but you're entering into more than just that. You're also entering into the unknown. And that's why we sang that song just then, because we realize and we understand that actually a transition of seasons, a transition of time, can actually be really hard for a lot of people. But I believe that some of us actually are here, and all we want to do with every fiber of our being is just curl up and get into bed and watch some Netflix, and we've all been there. But actually, that's not what we're called to do. And I truly believe that as we enter into the unknown, actually God is calling us into something more, into something greater, and I believe that He has an awesome and glorious plan for every single one of us here today. So I know that it can be tempting to kind of retreat and hide behind the stage or hide behind wherever you are, but I believe that if we're called to push forward into something greater and be called out of the unknown, because God brings clarity to every single situation, God brings purpose to us, and God gives us all of the answers that we need in due time. So I just want to challenge you and encourage you as we launch this year that it's going to be the best year yet. I truly have faith for that 2020 is going to be an awesome decade for you, and that, you know, as you seek God and as you put Him first, which you're already doing by being here just in this room, I truly believe that the powerful will happen here this year. You know, but there's some things in this world that we can't control, like the time, like it's going to be 2020 regardless of whether or not you want it to be. But I believe also that there are some things in this world that we do have control over. And I believe that one thing that I want to talk about here this morning is something that we do have control over. And my prayer is that this one thing that we can do all together as a family, as a community, as a group of friends, and a group of believers, if that's you here today, I believe that if you engage with this one thing, that this will be the best year yet for you. And I'm truly believing that this one thing is so powerful. And if you actually engage with this, it'll actually be a really kind of faith-filled thing to do. It'll be a very biblical thing to do. And actually, it'll radically change your life for the better. And that is taking responsibility for your life. I truly believe that when we take responsibility for our lives will change. Our lives will be better. And I truly believe that God will reveal his purpose to us even more when we take responsibility for our lives. And that's what we're going to be talking about here for the next few weeks, is what this looks like practically in every single one of our lives. And we're going to be doing this for four weeks or so for the entire month. But I have the privilege of kickstarting us here this morning. But before I get into that, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, that we get to be here together as a faith family, God, just to start this year off, Lord. We just thank you, God, for a new year, for new blessings, for new purposes, for new seasons, new challenges. But Lord, we just know, God, that you are the same. You are constant through it all. So Lord, I just pray for this message here today that you speak to every single one of us personally and individually, and that you continue to reveal yourself in a really tangible way. So thank you, Jesus, and we pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. I want to start today's message by asking you a question. In fact, I actually want you to ask yourself this question. And this is the question. Am I taking responsibility for my life? Really? Am I taking responsibility for my life? Really? Now, I want us all to practice this in a few short moments. But before you do, I want to set you up for success. So I just want to let you know that that gap in between life and really is like essential. It's so, so crucial. Like the amount of time you hold your breath before you say really is so, so important. And the way you say the word really, like you have to say it with gusto. You have to say it with passion and drive and conviction. Because if you don't, 2020 is just not going to be a good year for you, let me tell you. So why don't we do this all together, all right? 3, 2, 1. Am I taking responsibility for my life? Really? Okay, that was okay. I kind of heard some of you like really take it strong, but there's some of you who are a little bit shy of the pause. So I want to give you one more chance because I believe that we can do this all together. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. Am I taking responsibility for my life? Really? Wow, that was really good. No, I think it's a very simple question, and it's a very kind of overt question, but actually there's a lot of power behind this question. And so before we can answer this question, I think it's really important to define what irresponsibility looks like, because that's kind of a starting place for us in order to kind of move forward. And I came up with like a super complicated example because I wanted to make sure that I seemed really smart up here on stage. So this is the definition that I came up with. Irresponsibility is when I don't take responsibility for the things I'm responsible for. Did you catch it? Irresponsibility is when I don't take responsibility for the things I'm responsible for. That's why they pay me the big bucks here at The Rocks. And the thing is, it's a very simple concept, and it's actually not a really challenging thing to understand. But the thing about irresponsibility is that it's a bit like pride, and it's a bit like greed, where it's actually really hard to see in the mirror. It's really hard to see at myself. Like, it's really hard for me to observe and notice when I'm being irresponsible. But irresponsibility is super easy for me to see out there. I can see it clear as day in everyone around me, and every single person around me. I can pinpoint when others are being irresponsible. But for me, when I'm looking in the mirror, it's actually really tough to see. You know, I can say, hey, those people out there, they're being irresponsible. You know that nation, you know that country, that prime minister, that president, they're being so irresponsible. Oh, you know my boss, he's so, so irresponsible. Or you know that friend of mine or that family member of mine that we always talk about? Yeah, they're so, so irresponsible. When we look on the inside, actually, it's a little bit more challenging to see that irresponsibility. And the other thing about irresponsibility is that irresponsibility is really contagious. It's also really, really contagious because the thing is, when I see you getting away with irresponsibility, and again, it's really easy for me to see it in you, but when I see you getting away with irresponsibility, everything inside of me is like, oh, well, why can't I also get away with that? You know, like you seem to be getting by in life just fine, and you seem to be cutting corners, and you seem to be not doing as much hard work as I'm doing, and yet you're still getting by, so why can't I also do that? What's stopping me from wanting to be just like you and also to be irresponsible? Like, I don't want to work as hard. I don't want to have to pay all that debt if you don't pay that debt. I don't want to have to clean up my mess if you don't clean up your mess. And even furthermore, when we see other people not just being irresponsible, but profiting off of their irresponsibility. It's so common here today. The world idolizes irresponsibility. It's actually like a good thing that if you're irresponsible, but you can get away with it. If you can somehow not pay your taxes and get away with it, it's like, man, that guy's clever. That guy's smart. And somehow the world idolizes these things. But in actuality, we can see it in others. And because we see other people doing it, it can become very contagious for us on the inside. You know, I was in uni a few years back, and for those who don't know, I went I studied in Canada at the University of Guelph, which doesn't really matter. But I took a marketing management degree, which is a Bachelor of Commerce, and it's a four-year program. And when I was in uni, there was this one class that we all had to take. Every single Bachelor of Commerce student had to take this class in order to graduate. It's called a Keystone course. So that means no matter if you're in accounting, if you're in HR, if you're in marketing, you had to take this course, and you had to pass this course in order to receive your diploma at the end of your program. And so there's like a fly, like, around my face. Take responsibility. Okay. And so in this course, I remember the very first day of my unit, the professor comes and he speaks to every single student. So every single student, like I mentioned, has to take this course. And he says open wide to everyone, there's one thing that employers are really looking for. And then he drew a graph, and it's going to be on the screen behind me. And he drew this 2x2 graph of this table, and he said there's one thing that employers are really looking for, and it's in one of these quadrants. Which one do you think it is? And so we all the students, we look on the board and we're like, well, I definitely don't want to be dumb. So I think smart is probably a good guess. And he didn't use the word dumb, by the way. But I definitely want to be smart. So it's got to be one or two. And if I'm being honest, I think, you know, this is my like 16th year of studying, like 12 years of high school, my fourth year of university. Like after 16 years of studying and being in education, there's no way that being lazy is the good thing. So I'm just going to assume that quadrant number one is what he wants me to say. And I think it's the right answer. That's what we've been taught our whole life. And then so everyone's like, yeah, quadrant number one. And then I remember very clearly my professor was like, it's not quadrant one. The number one thing, the number one quadrant that you want to fit in, the number one thing that employers are looking for in terms of hireability is if you are in quadrant number two. They said, if you're smart and you're lazy, you are the most desirable person to hire. And all of us are like floored. We're like, what is going on? But actually, there's a little bit of validity behind it, but he was kind of defending himself. And he's like, you know, if you're lazy and you're smart, you know how to find shortcuts, and you know how to get through the system, and you know how to not follow the exact path, but to find a new path there. And he was talking about all these ways, essentially, that irresponsibility and not following the way of life and follow the things that are set in this world actually can get you further, which is partly true. But the thing is, when that starts coming into your family life, and when you start cutting corners, not just at your workplace, when you start cutting corners in your everyday life, that's when it becomes dangerous. And like we mentioned, this is contagious. Irresponsibility is contagious. And when we start doing these things and we get awarded for it, the thing is that what is rewarded is repeated. And so when we get rewarded for cutting corners, when we get rewarded for skipping steps, when we get rewarded at work for being irresponsible, that thing will get repeated in our lives because we remember that we got rewarded for that in the past. So why wouldn't we do it again? And so when this slips into our family lives, when this slips into our relationships and our ministry, whatever it is, that's when it becomes dangerous. And that's when it becomes a danger for all of us to be irresponsible. But I'm just blown by the way that, you know, even out there in the work world, even in uni, they tell you that this is something that you should go after, that you should want to achieve. It's something that's glorified out in the world. The last thing I want to bring up about irresponsibility, and for me, this is probably actually one of the most important things about irresponsibility, because it's also like a bit of a myth. I think it's like one of those myths that is quite easily missed, or it's quite easily thought of in the other way. But I believe irresponsibility is not a neutral thing. So oftentimes we can trick ourselves into thinking, oh, if I'm irresponsible, then it doesn't affect everyone else. But actually, irresponsibility, I believe, is a team sport. It's something that is not an isolated event. It's not something that happens by itself. But I believe that irresponsibility is something that actually affects and has ripple effects to the people around us. You know, when I don't take responsibility for something, essentially what I'm saying, I might not say it with my words, but when I have the actions of irresponsibility, essentially what I'm saying is that I'm expecting someone else to clean up my mess for me. I'm expecting someone else to clean up that chaos for me. I'm expecting someone else to pick up the mess that I left behind. And that's what irresponsibility says, and that's why it's not a neutral thing. So a few weeks ago, I was preparing for this message, and I messaged my family, actually. And so I was like, hey, fam, like, I have this irresponsibility, take your responsibility for your life message coming up. And I kind of want to know, like, if you maybe had, like, a couple examples of when I was younger and I was irresponsible. And I was like, there's probably nothing, but, like, if you can maybe think of one, like, don't hurt your head trying to think too hard about it. But if there's, like, something here or there, there that maybe comes to the top of your mind? Can you give me examples? Like, I'm looking for examples, kind of going off the point that it's really hard to see in the mirror, irresponsibility. And so I was like, hey, Dad, hey, fam, like, just whenever you have time, can you send me a message or two just about some of the times I was irresponsible? And then my dad sends me this text. Honestly, nothing comes to mind in the moment. Wow, you were pretty responsible through every stage of life. Your mom and I were blessed indeed. I'll give it some more thought and get back to you. Love, Dad. However, give him 1 hour. Quick chat now. I have an example, but I want to chat about it. I don't want the significance of it to be lost over text. Who knows that you should never give negative feedback over messages, because that stuff is lasting forever. That will be held over your head for your lifetime. And my dad did have a couple examples of some of the times where I may have been a little bit more than rowdy as a child, but I decided not to use that example today. And so, and then I got a message from my brother a little bit after that, and he says this. Says, John, wow, where do I start? So many times to choose from, and then goes on to list a plethora of examples of my irresponsibility as a brother. But overall, I think you are a pretty responsible person, like as if that's like a positive thing. Pretty. I mean, it's completely my fault for asking, and I probably should have seen this coming in the long run. But and I'm also not going to use any of those examples that he sent, because that's just way too far, and it's not helpful for anyone. But the example that I'm going to use about irresponsibility is one that's actually in this building, and it actually involves mostly myself, but the staff here at The Rocks as well. And for those who don't know, we have offices upstairs in the mezzanine, and we have like a small kitchenette upstairs as well. And in the corner in the kitchen, there's like this bin. So there's like this garbage bin, and it's right in the corner. And what you have to understand about this bin, and you might have one similar at your house as well, but there's no lid on this bin. And so this bin is like open to the air, it's open to the public, and you can imagine that over a couple of days, the smells will begin to become quite pungent over some time. And so as it does, we actually have cleaners that come every Sunday, and they clean up. So by the time we get to our staff meetings on Tuesday morning, the place is spotless, the place is super clean, and the bins look fresh as, and it's just a great time. You don't even think about it. And so what I didn't realize is that, you know, every Tuesday, some of us at the staff, mostly Chloe and I, will cook together, and we produce garbage, because that's kind of what happens when you cook. And then by like Wednesday, the bin is already like half full, and like that's pretty standard. And then Thursday, I have a pretty big lunch, or I have some snacks. And so definitely by the end of Thursday, the bin is like completely full. You have to understand this bin is like actually quite tall, but this bin is like so full. And so what I tend to do on that Friday is I tend to get a little bit creative. So I like to express my creativity. And I begin to like pile my garbage like a tower, because it's right on the corner and you have the walls. So you can like lean stuff and you begin to have like a bit of a tower. It's quite beautiful actually. And if you really need a hand, you can actually, I learned this trick, you can push all the garbage down and then you can put your stuff at the top. And then only like a couple hours later will the garbage begin to expand again. And so by that time, you're already not there and no one knows that it was you. That the garbage was now overflowed like completely. But what I didn't quite realize is that actually on Sunday mornings, what I did realize, but I didn't put it together, is that kids ministry and kids leaders are up there every single Sunday morning. And so they would come in and parents would come in and they would see this kitchen and see this giant pail of garbage in this bin. And it would just reek and smell and it doesn't look very nice. And what I didn't realize is that by me just stuffing the garbage and by me pushing the problem away, actually, I wasn't taking responsibility for what was actually my responsibility. And by my actions, I never said it with my words, but I was saying with my actions, I'm expecting someone else to take care of this mess. I'm expecting someone else to pick up this garbage. I'm expecting someone else to change this bin liners, because it's not my job. It's not my responsibility. I'm not the only one to blame. You know, I'm only partly to blame. Therefore, it's not my responsibility. And actually, Pastor Mike and Robin had to sit us all down and be like, actually, we need to come up with a situation and a plan and of attack and how we can do this, because this is not sustainable. This won't last. This is not good for the kids' ministry. And what the thing is, what we don't realize is that some of us do this with our lives as well. Some of us don't take responsibility for the things that we're actually responsible for. And we are saying it with our actions, not necessarily with our words, but we're saying with our actions, actually, you clean up my mess. Actually, you clean up my chaos. Actually, you take away the garbage that I have left behind, because, you know, I'm only partly to blame and I'm not ready to take responsibility. So I think it's your job to clean up the mess that I've left behind. But the thing is, that's not what we're called into. And if you're a Christian here today, I want to let you know that actually you're accountable to something higher than your mom or your dad. You're accountable to something more than just your boss. You're accountable more to than just the people around you, your friends or your family. You're actually accountable to our Heavenly Father. And the thing is, if you're not a Christian here today, that's totally cool. And I just hope that the next few minutes you can just like chime in and pay attention and just have some fun as we joke about it. But actually, in fact, this isn't a joke for us, because I truly believe that we are accountable to something greater than just ourselves. And when we don't take that seriously, when we're not responsible with the things that we are called into to be responsible for, that's actually not the godly thing to do. That's actually not what we're called into. You know, the thing is, we should be the most responsible people in the entire world. As Christians, as Jesus followers, we should be the most responsible people on the entire planet, because we understand the connectivity of the civilization. We understand the connectedness of our culture. We understand how families and relationships all come together and they all work. We should be the most responsible people on this planet. We should be the first ones to pay our bills. We should be the first ones to take care of our families, take care of ourselves. We should pay alimony. We should pay child support. We should take responsibility for things that we're responsible for, because we understand that we aren't called just to be accountable to the people around us, but we are held accountable to something higher, which is our Heavenly Father. Now, I want to jump into a story of irresponsibility and where I believe irresponsibility all began. And it's a very familiar story, and I just thought we would start kind of at the beginning for two reasons. Number one, because it's a good place to start. And number two, because it's the beginning of 2020, so why not begin at the beginning of the Bible? So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, I would love for you to turn with me to the easiest book in the Bible to find. And if you said Genesis, you would be right. And so if you can turn to chapter 1. And this is all how irresponsibility was introduced to mankind. And so Genesis 1, chapter 27, and we're reading from the NIV version. And for those who like are a little bit concerned, I did ask Sid permission to preach from Genesis. I know like she has almost exclusive rights over Genesis, and like I had to kind of bargain with her, and then she got a bit angry, but like I was like, hey, please, just one time offer, end of season sale, like no returns. Like I promise I'll do my best. And she's like, this one time, John, you can preach from Genesis. So I'm gonna tackle it as best as I can from Genesis chapter 1. And just a little bit of context behind this as well. This is just right after creation. This is when God created mankind. And this is what it says in verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then listen to this. Before God gives human race and mankind any kind of rules, any kind of stuff to do, any Ten Commandments, any of that stuff, the very first thing that God does is gives us responsibility. And I find that really interesting, because, you know, there was no sin in the world yet there was responsibility. Listen to this. In verse 28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. In other words, go have some babies. Well, don't we need some laws, God? Don't we need some like rules or commandments or anything? And God's like, no, you don't need any laws. You don't need any commandments. Just one rule, which is stay away from that tree, and a lot of responsibility. Just go and have some babies. Fill the earth and subdue it. Why? So you can rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. In other words, I want you to rule over the earth, because human beings, you are responsible now for the earth. No Ten Commandments. There was no like plethora of rules. There was just one small rule, which was stay away from that tree. One rule and a lot of responsibility. Verse 29 says, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds in it. They will be yours for food. So in the beginning, God gave mankind responsibility to rule over the earth, to subdue the earth, and to take care of the planet. And this is before sin. Like I mentioned, this is before the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. This is before the Ten Commandments. It was all about responsibility. Now, you would have probably experienced this intuitively, but what I love is that this is also in the Word of God. This is also in the Bible. But actually, mankind, you, every single one of us in the room, you were created to be responsible. You were designed and you were created by our God to have a degree of responsibility. In fact, this is what I know most about you. Maybe I don't even know you, but this is what I know about you. That you are most happy when you're taking care of that responsibility that you have been given. When you know, when you feel like or when you know that you're doing a great job with the responsibility responsibility that you have been given. That's when you feel like you have fulfilled the purpose that you have been given. That's when you feel the most joy in your life. That's when you feel like you have fulfilled the calling that God has placed on your life. When you take responsibility and you do a good job with the responsibility that you have been given. You know, men, this is so true for you. Like, if you have a job and you're working and you are like the breadwinner, if you bring home the bacon every single week, you know you feel good when you are doing a good job at that. When you're taking care of responsibility of your family, of the finances, and whatever it is, you know that you're most happy when your wife tells you, thank you so much, that you're doing a great job as a husband and as a father. And same with you, mothers. You feel that joy. You feel that happiness. You feel like that ultimate sense of responsibility when you know you've been doing a great job. When you know that your kids are being raised correctly, when your teenagers make good decisions, you feel so much joy and happiness because you understand that the responsibility you've been given as a mother has been going well, and you find so much joy in that because you see the fruits of the labor around you. That's why for those of us right now, or for those of you maybe who are here in this place and you actually don't have work at the moment, maybe you're in a season of drought, maybe you're in a season where you are unemployed, maybe for just recently or for the past couple of years or whatever it is, but I know that if that's you here today, that sometimes there can be a sense of agony or a sense of frustration in that season because you know that you have been called into something more. You know, you were created to be responsible, so when you don't have a chance to kind of fulfill that and to make that into action, that can be quite frustrating on the inside. That can be quite challenging on the inside. And I believe that for you, this could be one of the toughest seasons that you're in. And you feel this weight on your shoulders. You feel this burden that you're carrying around. But can I let you know that if that's you, if you're carrying that weight here today, and if you're feeling that burden, you're like, hey, John, that's me. Can I let you know that actually, in one way or the other, that burden, that weight that you feel could actually be from God. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean that God has designed you to be most happy when you are responsible for something. He has created you for responsibility. So if you're not taking responsibility, if you don't have that job, if you don't have that sense of responsibility in your life, of course you're not going to be happy, and of course you're going to feel that weight. But God allows you to have that weight because he knows what's best for you. He knows that there's something more for you. He knows that the season coming up is going to be even better when you do finally find that employment. But the thing is, he doesn't want you to stay in a place where you're comfortable when you're not in responsibility. So God's going to continue to place you in a place of burden, and maybe he's going to allow that to happen because he knows ultimately what's best for you. So if you're in one way or the other feeling this burden, you're actually probably right in the center of God's will for your life. In one way or the other, you're probably at the center of God's purpose for your life because you're feeling that burden of responsibility, and you're feeling that burden of wanting to take care of responsibility of something. The thing is, you were created, I was created, we were created to be responsible. Now, as the story of creation goes, I'm sure you're quite familiar with it. At this point, it doesn't go super well for Adam and Eve. They kind of talk to the snake, and Satan appears and tempts Eve. And for those who think, oh, it's not Adam's fault, well, Adam was there, and he's kind of like, oh, whatever. So I believe that they're both equally to blame. So Adam and Eve, they both sin, and they eat from the tree, which they weren't supposed to, and they both sinned. And the thing is, as soon as they both sinned, they lost something with God. They lost accountability to God. They feel ashamed, they feel naked, and so they go and hide. And listen to this very famous, very well-known conversation that happens between God and Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Which is honestly a little bit silly, but when you kind of mess up, the thing is we make silly choices. And so there it is, the very first kind of silly thing that someone does. They make a silly choice afterwards, after they sin. And that's why we do it as well. In verse 9 it says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Now God obviously knew where they were. God can see and knows everything. But the thing is, God was giving Adam an opportunity. He's saying, "Where are you?" And I can just imagine a parent saying this to their kid as well. And essentially is saying, "Did you do that? Did you do that thing that I asked you not to do?" Knowing full well that they did, but he's giving them a chance. And this is the same thing. "Where are you?" Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" In other words, God says to Adam, "I'm holding you accountable. I give you a lot of responsibility, and there was only one rule, a lot of responsibility and no rule, and only one rule. And you see, in a culture where everyone takes responsibility for the things they are responsible for, you actually don't need a lot of rules. And that's the thing about the Garden of Eden. The very beginning of creation, before there was sin in this world, God created a lot of responsibility and not a lot of rules. And in a place, in a community, in a family, in a workplace, in a church, where everyone takes responsibility for their life, actually you don't need a lot of rules. And that's the way that God originally designed it. And that's the same, and that's the same thing is true in our family, in our workplace, in our nation. So in the Garden of Eden, there was just one rule, and Adam and Eve broke it. And it says this in the next verse. Adam said, "Yes, I did, and I take full responsibility for my actions. Do with me as you will, but leave Eve out of this. She's innocent." Now, for those who aren't laughing in the situation, it's probably because you haven't read the story in a while. It's actually not at all what it says. This is not what Genesis says in the situation. You should read your Bible because it's a pretty great book, and you never know what I'm going to put up there. So, but this world would be a very different place if Adam had taken responsibility. If Adam had thrown himself in front of Eve and said, "Don't take Eve. I'm completely to blame. It is my fault that she ate the fruit." It might not be completely for me to blame, but I will take responsibility for my part in this share. Just punish me, God, don't take Eve. Please leave her out of it. God, please just save her from any punishment. Now, let's read what actually Adam says in the situation. Verse 12, the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." In other words, Adam is saying, "I didn't ask for this woman. You, God, sent this woman here. I was completely fine before Eve came around. You know, I was a little bit lonely with the animals, but you, God, took the rib out of my stomach, and you created her. So I don't know what you're going to do about it. Like, maybe this is something that you and Eve want to chat about, like, over there. But I'm just going to chill here for a little bit and just update me on what happened. That's totally cool. But she and you, man, I don't know what's going to happen between you guys because that was pretty bad what happened back there. But hey, I don't know. Just leave me out of it." And the thing is, doesn't that explain a lot of the conflict in your relationships? Doesn't that explain a lot of the conflict at your workplace or in your families or wherever it is in your life? Let the blames begin. In Genesis 3, chapter 13, then the God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and then I ate it." She starts following suit to Adam as well and says, it's the serpent's fault. He made me do it. I wasn't going to do it, but he said that I should do it, and it's going to be a good thing. And the serpent's just chilling there being like, "Yeah, that's truly cool. Like, it's on me, bro. Like, I was my idea from the beginning. I will take full responsibility." And then we're introduced to an entirely new concept. And that concept is this. Do you know that responsibility always creates something? That something is conflict. Irresponsibility that leads to blame always creates conflict. And where there is blame, there is usually irresponsibility. Is it amazing when someone steps up and says, "You know what? I am to blame"? You know how rare it is when someone takes ownership and says, "You know what? It wasn't completely my fault, but I will take the blame for this. It is my responsibility. You know, that is my family. I will take the responsibility. You know, this is my company. This is my division. I will take responsibility. You know, this is my relationship, my finances. I will take responsibility for that. You know, I might not be completely to blame, but that's not what we're talking about. We're saying taking responsibility for the things in your life. You know, the interesting thing is Jesus led the way in this. You know, at a time where no one was taking responsibility for their sin, Jesus came down and said, "You know what? I'm not to blame for the situation. I'm not the one sinning, but I'm going to take responsibility for what's happening, and I'm going to actually come forward and die on a cross for your sins, for my sins, for our sins." And the beauty behind this is that Jesus led the way and showed his example by leading in this way of taking responsibility. And he loves us so much that he wanted to take responsibility for the sin in our lives. The thing is, he loved you so much that he died on a cross, he suffered on a cross, so that you and I could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, so you and I could live in harmony with Jesus, with the Son of God, and that one day, if we believe in him, we can have eternal life with him up in heaven. But the minute a person begins to shift responsibility away from what he or she was responsible for, the minute someone starts using blame as a tool, like, how effective is that? You know, no one has ever said, "You know the type of person that I want to be friends with, or you know the type of person that I want to hire, you know the person that I want to spend, you know, some extra time with, or someone that I want to be around, is someone who's really sneaky with their blaming. I love being around someone who can just orchestrate any conversation, can be so poetic with their blame that they are able to just blame everyone around them. I love those kind of people. Of course not. No one ever admires that quality in someone, and yet we still jump into that space. And what I believe is the word for every single one of us is actually that we're called into something greater. We're called to be taking responsibility for our life. Because really, there's nothing to be gained through responsibility. There's nothing to be acquired through irresponsibility. And there's nothing to be acquired through neglecting that responsibility that is truly, truly ours at the end of the day. And this is the thought that I want to leave you with. I believe that irresponsibility actually goes deeper than that. I believe that irresponsibility doesn't just create conflict on the outside, but I believe irresponsibility also creates conflict on the inside. It creates conflict within us. Because I may be able to convince you that I'm not to blame. I may be able to convince you that I'm not responsible for what happened. The thing is, I will never, ever fully be able to convince myself on the inside that I have that I'm not responsible. The thing is, you will be carrying that guilt. You'll be carrying that shame. You'll be carrying that wherever you go because you know deep down inside of your heart that there's a degree of responsibility that you haven't taken for. And God has called us into responsibility. And God has called us to take responsibility and to be happiest when we are responsible. And that's why if you haven't taken responsibility for that thing, that maybe you haven't found happiness in a while because you haven't had a chance to fulfill the responsibility that God has called you into and to find that joy through that. You know, as we jump into 2020, I think it's a great opportunity right now just to, you know, really take this chance where God is meeting us to take responsibility for the things in our lives that we ought to take responsibility for. You know, I believe that 2020 isn't just a new year, but it's a chance for us to see in the same 2020 lens the way that God sees us. It's a chance for us to see with the same 2020 clarity the purpose that God has given every single one of us. You know, we are most happy when we are responsible and we are created for responsibility. And I believe that when we jump into a space and we start taking or raising our hands for the things that we're responsible for, I believe it will save us so much headache and so much heartbreak. Because at the end of the day, when we say that we're not responsible, we're only talking about the past. And we can often get caught in the past. We get caught in the beginning stage of just shifting blame back and forth that you don't actually create a solution and create a platform and a bridge on how to move forward. But I believe that we're called to move forward and we're called to grow. And as soon as one person takes responsibility, that's exactly how you grow. And that's exactly how you can fulfill the purpose that God has called you into this year. And so that's my prayer for every single one of us here today. And as I was speaking here this morning, maybe something was stirred in your heart and maybe you feel like God is actually speaking directly to you in this moment. And can I just let you know that that's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. That's just not by fluke or by luck. I believe that God speaks to every single one of us very individually and very personally. And so if there's something maybe in the past that has come up, you know, sometime this morning and it keeps coming to the surface of your mind, and it's maybe something that's happened in the past, it could have been this week, it could have been last month, it could have been 10 years ago, it doesn't matter. But I believe if God is bringing something up in your situation, in your life, from your past, that you haven't taken responsibility for, I believe that right now is a chance to start taking that responsibility for your life, really. To really start taking responsibility for your life. And when you start taking those steps, when you start taking those small steps of faith towards taking responsibility, it might not happen overnight, but as soon as you partner with God and you take responsibility for the things that you are responsible for, I truly believe that God will work miracles in your situation. Because when we bring things to light, that's where God can bring healing, and that's where God can bring miracles, and that's where God can really show you all the love that he's got for you, all the grace and all of the different purposes that he has in this season. So that's my prayer for every single one of us here this year as we start 2020, that we will start on the right foot and that we will start in a place where we're honoring God with our actions and our deeds and everything that we do, and then we start taking responsibility for our life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.